with Melanie Tate from ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
Every major war in history has had some pretty extraordinary propaganda that has been attached to it. And the conflict between the Tasmanian government and Aboriginal people is no different, as historians Kristen Harmon and Nick Brody have discovered. Let's start with, if we could go back, to the demolition of Old Government House in the 1850s. What was found there?
Well, it's really quite astounding, Melanie, because when the floorboards were lifted, underneath was a relic, which was in fact a painted wooden board. So this wooden board, which was thought to be pine, had oil paintings depicting Aboriginal people and white people, including soldiers and colonists, interacting with each other.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of stories were they telling on this pine board?
That's really open to interpretation, and people have all different ideas about this, but it's really depicting a coming together of the peoples, and it's showing, some people think, a kind of even-handedness. So people shaking hands, you've got Aboriginal people holding white children, white people holding Aboriginal children, everyone in English-style clothing, of course, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got something that some people consider to be justice being distributed evenly. So you've got Aboriginal man being hanged for a crime against white people, then you've got a white man being hanged for a crime against Aboriginal people, which of course is far from the reality on the ground during the Vandemonian War.
And what leads you to believe that it was propaganda?
Because these in particular told very blunt stories. So whereas the surviving ones have this image of nicey-nice colonisation, everybody's equal before the law is the general sort of consensus reading of those, these two have two very different sequences, one of which depicts Aboriginal people basically assimilating into the colony, trading with the colonists, wearing their clothing, being educated in their ways, and ultimately being given the opportunity to become a postman, you know, riding a horse on uniform, holding public office. So we sort of think of that as an assimilation sequence. And the other one is a very blunt one, which is Aboriginal people attacking settlers and being met with overwhelming force from the army. So depictions of a fusillade being fired at Aboriginal people fleeing, killing some of them, capturing the rest, bringing them in chains and then hanging them. And of course, that is very reminiscent of what we know actually happened,
mm-hmm.
in quite a great deal of detail. All of those elements happened in part. Soldiers did shoot at Aboriginal people. Aboriginal people were captured and brought in chains into Hobart. And Aboriginal people were hanged as well. So that presents a very blunt image of the alternative to assimilation, really, which is death by a range of means.
To actually view those in person after reading about them, was there something kind of chilling, or what kind of feelings did it evoke?
For me, it was really brought home that very, very stark choice facing Tasmanian Aboriginal people, whatever they made of the boards, and that was you either need to come to church, trade with us, fit into colonial society, wear our type of clothing, and then you may get a job and you know, be part of everything. So more or less a cultural genocide, if you like. Or on the other hand, if you continue to resist and you won't fit in or you attack us, you'll be shot by soldiers or hanged after appearing in our law courts.
I think it also, there's one particular feeling that I had, which is the sudden realisation upon seeing that image of soldiers firing upon Aboriginal people, that was the first time I'd seen that depicted really in art, because the art of colonial conflict in Australia, we know that conflict was a huge phenomenon across the entire continent. Many years, many thousands of people killed, you know, hundreds of rounds of ammunition in these sorts of big campaigns, Van Diemen's Land, it was shocking stuff. But the visual depictions of it are so rare, and they often depict a very simplistic Aboriginal people attacking a settler's hut version of the story. So to see soldiers out there firing upon Aboriginal people, as we know full well from the documentary records was taking place, was quite a shocking realisation that visual history had been effaced if it was ever there.
What do these contribute to that ever-changing narrative, that narrative that now is starting to be told?
I think we're bringing a new sense of the nuance of the conflict and the scale and scope of it as well. So there's lots of soldiers involved. It's really quite shocking stuff. It's not just about farmers fighting Aboriginal people over kangaroo hunting grounds. It's much more organised than that. It's also one where there is, you know, it's a proper war. There's propaganda, just as there is in most conflicts. And that side of the story really hasn't been told much, the way that the government crafted narratives of what it was doing and how it wanted to be remembered. And then also it cuts to the heart of the way that colonial conflict is often misremembered, so that we might be familiar with those old images that were discovered under Government House in the 1850s, but they're not the only images. But those stories that date from the later 19th century, the 1850s, the 1870s and so on, are the stories that we have told ourselves for generations. And they are really only a tiny part of the story. There's much, much more evidence out there which needs much more detailed investigation and gives us a bigger and a more nuanced view of what was going on.